CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. First time ever, the NFL has suspended a head coach for an entire season and his defensive coordinator indefinitely without pay for paying bounties for brutal hits on key players. It's the New Orleans head coach, Sean Payton. Commissioner Roger Goodell at the NFL Network.
If you weren't aware of it as head coach, you should have been aware of it. And that's a critical factor for me. As head coach, who clearly it specifically states in your contract that you supervise the coaches and the players.
Another big headline today, quarterback Tim Tebow going to the New York Jets. Analysts say probably as a backup for Mark Sanchez. There were funeral services today in Paris and Jerusalem for the seven victims killed by a terrorist on a motorbike last week. The suspect remains holed up in an apartment in Toulouse, pledging allegiance to Al-Qaeda in his discussions with the police who surround him.
There had been reports that eyewitnesses saw him wearing some kind of camera strapped to his chest, and he said that he had indeed filmed the incident, that he had been filming them while he was shooting, and the police have now recovered that camera.
CBS's Elaine Cobb in Toulouse. A Florida congresswoman calls for the arrest of George Zimmerman, neighborhood watch commander in Sanford, Florida, in the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin.
Trying to keep up the pressure in the case of the African-American teenager shot by a neighborhood watch volunteer, Democrat Frederica Wilson, who represents the Florida district where Trayvon Martin lived, took the House floor to demand action.
Sanford police, do your duty. Arrest the murderer today. 25 days is much too long.
She called the evidence overwhelming that this was not a case of self-defense and said her constituents are crying out for justice. Bob Buzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
After losing big in Illinois to Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum says the fight goes on and says the president's energy policy isn't one.
It is a national security issue, not just an energy issue, not just an economic issue. It is a freedom issue.
There are calls today from more Republican leaders for Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and Ron Paul to drop their campaigns and get behind Romney's candidacy. President Obama's back in southern Nevada talking solar power and others.
The trip amounts to a cross-country response to Republican attempts to link Obama energy policies to higher fuel costs. Spokesman Jay Carney previewed the tone of the president's message.
Americans, I think, by and large, even though they're frustrated, understand that politicians who tell them that if only they were in power, they could fix it with a simple proposal. Most Americans understand that that's baloney.
The president will discuss his across-the-board energy agenda at a Nevada solar power facility, a New Mexico oil field, an Oklahoma pipeline terminal, and an Ohio research center. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
On Wall Street, the Dow's down 26 points, NASDAQ up 11, and oil prices just over $107 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, and Fiona works at a Ford dealership, and she's with me today. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thank you.
Why should I take my car to a Ford dealership for tires instead of a tire specialty place?
When it comes to tires, it's not just a tire, but the right tire is important for your vehicle.
My four select tires get up to a $70 rebate and two complimentary weekday lift tickets to Mammoth Mountain.
So you're saying the right tire at the right price would send me away a happy customer?
Absolutely.
Rebate varies by manufacturer. Tickets while supplies last. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 3/31/12.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
An inexpensive, generic drug commonly used by hospitals in Europe is a proven lifesaver on the battlefield and may be beneficial in bloody accidents of all kinds.
Battlefield surgeons say tranexamic acid is safe, effective, and cheap. One study calculated it could save the lives of 4,000 trauma victims a year in the U.S. alone. But the doctor who led that study says the FDA has yet to approve it.
The investigators sent it to them over a year ago, but they seem to be sitting on their thumbs.
Researcher Ian Roberts, one other possible explanation. Just because it is so cheap, the companies that make the generic drug apparently feel it wouldn't be profitable enough. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Former Nevada Las Vegas basketball coach Jerry Tarkanian will be out of the hospital soon after a mild heart attack. He was a big-time coach whose persona was punctuated by his habit of biting a towel when he got excited on the sidelines, and that happened a lot. Tarkanian is 81. His son says he feels okay. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Mike Rowe, and Fiona works at a Ford dealership, and she's with me today. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thank you.
You were just on the verge of telling me why I should bring my vehicle to a Ford dealership instead of some specialty tire store if I want good tires.
Well, to ensure that you have Ford experts working on your vehicle, all our service advisors and technicians are factory trained and certified for your vehicle specifically. And when it comes to tires, it's not just a tire, but the right tire is important for your vehicle.
Buy four Michelin, BF Goodrich, Pirelli, General Tire, or Goodyear tires to get up to a $70 rebate and two complimentary Mammoth Mountain Ski Resort weekday lift tickets.
So you're saying the right tire at the right price with the right rebate and the correct fit would send me away a happy customer?
Absolutely.
And you're able to assure that all those things will happen should I bring my vehicle to you?
To a Ford dealership.
What about you specifically?
You can come to my dealership.
All right.
I'd allow you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rebate varies by manufacturer. Tickets while supplies last. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
Let's give him something to talk about. It's Wednesday. I got a former FBI guy coming in.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
You can't get that on every station. I'll tell you that. Get it right here. I talk to Chief, Friends and Neighbors Network with Bill Benica. Bill's news and commentary right here today. I got a comment to make already, if I may. Okay, can I just say? First off, let me remind you, at 12:30, Ed Miller will be in here, a former FBI guy. And now, with Unfinished Business, and he's putting on the biggest guitar show that's ever happened on the Central Coast in Santa Maria this weekend, and we're going to talk about every bit about everything. Now, the other thing that's very important to talk about today, of course, is the very first obvious thing, is that Police Chief Lisa Solomon and the city of Paso Robles have parted ways. Where else but the Central Coast can you get $250,000 for screwing up?
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Chat it. It's smarter. Get hooked up on that. And don't forget 15 megabytes per second they're offering right now. Just call 1-888-GET-CHARTER today. I don't know. I was doing something, and the computer took a long time doing it. So in one way, I'm not fully prepared today. I apologize. All right. So now I'm getting there, though. God, Benica, help you. All right. Here's what. Let's do our who's and what's today, according to the Tribune, and see what they say. Because we had things that happened on this day in history, not many, but a few. On this date, in 1962, the first Taco Bell restaurant was opened by Glenn Bell in Downey, California, and I've eaten the first Taco Bell. 1965, more than 3,000 civil rights demonstrators led by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. began their march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. One year ago, Syrian Channing's No More Fear held a defiant march after a deadly government crackdown failed to quash 3 days of mass protests in the southern city of Daraa. So far, no good. By our birthday's day, violence conductor Joseph Silverstein is 80. Actor Timothy Dalton is 66. Actor Gary Oldman is 54. Actor Matthew Broderick is 50. Comedian talk show host Rosie O'Donnell, who's not a comedian talk show host anymore. She's just a comedian. I'm not even sure she's funny anymore. She's 50. Rapper TV personality Kevin Federline is 34. I want to say happy birthday to them. And, hey, you have a beautiful birthday if your birthday's today, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Da-da-da-da. Boy, the people in the city of Paso Robles should really be torqued off. Holy cow. Lisa Solomon has stepped down as chief of police of Paso Robles following the tumultuous 2 months of relentless accusations by her own officers of sexual misconduct. The agreement between her and the city calls for payment within 5 days of a lump sum to her in the amount of $250,000. City Attorney Iris Ping Yang read a brief statement following a 40-minute closed session that was held after the city council's regular meeting, acknowledging the separation. Council members left without comment. Solomon termed her action early retirement and a letter to the council blasting what she called recent attacks on my character by unscrupulous media sources and self-serving individuals. Cal Source News reported in late January that Solomon was being accused of sexually touching at least four of her officers in social situations, often in front of other sworn police personnel. Since then, other allegations from current and former officers have surfaced. Solomon and public said public comment has reached a level of indecency so great, I will no longer subject myself, my family, or my colleagues to such invasions of privacy. City Manager Jim Hatt praised Solomon after the meeting, calling her a great asset to the city and a dedicated public servant. He said he was personally distressed by Solomon's departure. And when you hear about the emails, you'll know why. She has been a big part of the city for 24 years. He said his comments were the first regarding Solomon since the scandal broke. Several officers told CalCoast News Solomon emailed her former staff and said she had elected to take early retirement. However, the officer said she's not able to collect her retirement for 7 years, and this is not early retirement. Solomon's last official day will be April 2nd, but she has effectively left her post and will not return. Her city-paid health benefits will cease on that day. Captain Robert Burton will act as interim chief until a search for a new chief can be completed. The agreement with the city reads in part, Solomon desires to leave employment due to a recent event which she believes, through no fault of either party, have caused damage to her reputation and other adverse effects. As part of her release, Solomon has agreed not to sue the city for any reason. And then I'm going to read what somebody wrote, and I'm going to tell you right here. I'm going to read it to you. Attention citizens of Paso Robles. The city manager and city council of Paso Robles absolutely do not care about your public safety. This is evidenced by the fact that the Paso Robles Police Department is currently operating in safety mode, which drastically reduces police response time due to understaffing. Yet the current city administrator can cough up $250,000 as severance to an incompetent, immoral, and inept police chief. And the city of Paso Robles all of a sudden has that much extra cash. It would be better spent on hiring new officers to shore up the gap in service reduction, which equates to serve and protect the citizens of Paso Robles. Now, I can hardly get through this. It's so weird. It's so completely daunting and strange, but we'll get to it here as soon as the computer says we'll get to it, Bill. Maybe we're not going to get there. Maybe it's just not going to happen. Maybe as much as we wanted to, it's just not going to happen. I hate to be done already because there's other things to talk about. But, there we go. Thank you. Okay, there we go. Now, as mentioned by Karen Veeley the other day, last Friday, and she'll be in this Friday, as mentioned by Karen Veeley the other day, what happened here was Jim Apple, the city manager, had a nickname for Lisa Solomon, and it was Lovely Lisa Meter Maid. is one of sometimes bizarre emails. This damn computer, just I'm ready to throw it. Hey, throw it out the window. I'm so sorry. It's just not happening. It's whatever. Oh, here we go. In which app also identified himself as PBG, Fat PHAT Bald Guy. And his emails to key staff app often signed off with Don Quixote, which is not like Don Quixote. It's Don, D-O-N, slash K-E-Y, hyphen K-E-Y, hyphen Ho, hyphen T, or Word, J, or Donka. Calcos News requested emails between certain city. Then they were told that the IT department was told to get rid of anything that was over 3 months old. For example, no emails between Apple Solomon and Key Police Administration have yet been provided to discuss the three-month barrage of allegations against Solomon, other than one app reference to that other matter. Solomon used an obscenity to describe the intellectual level of individual members of the Paso Robles City Council and put her thoughts in writing to her boss, City Manager Jim App. Solomon wrote in August 2011 email that she was displeased that council member Fred Strong had talked to a Cal Coast news reporter about a police department issue. She also was dismayed the city's mayor, Dwayne Picano, was asserting he was unaware of a major new policy that police called safe mode. Solomon called the issue complex and wrote, it would be very helpful to me if the council members would let me know if the press was poking around so I can be the spokesman for the department. Solomon's diplomatic urging, App wrote back, the message should include diplomatic urgings to direct police-related inquiries to the chief. Solomon's diplomatic urging was in response to App, effing morons. The first four letters of the first word of the two-word retort were redacted by City Attorney Iris Yang and was one of several hundred email messages between city officials obtained by Cal Coast News and the Public Records Act. Officials had gotten temporarily stingy with public records, etc. One was Don Gentile, is that how you say his name, Gentile? Mm-hmm. Senior editor of the National Enquirer, who wrote on January 27th to Solomon, we are preparing a story about the city's alleged investigation and sexual harassment on your part against male officers in Paso Robles. We are asking for a comment. Solomon wrote, I'm not responding. App wrote, good grief. Some of App's emails to top staff in February were curious. The order of department presentations followed the sequence of reports in the meeting's materials. One, PBG, Fat Ball Guy, Intro, Megatron, Jimmy the T, Julie, Edward the Scott, and Dougie Doug, and Ken, but not Barbie, and lovely Lisa Meter Maid. Dwayne Picano will likely invite council Q&A, which each of the magnificent seven public comments will likely, after all you've been done. I can't understand what that's. Anyway, so it goes on, but it's weird. So you can go to calcoastnews.com and look it up, because it's too weird for me to even tell you about it, because it's too weird. Anyhow, so I don't know what's going on in these cities anymore. You know, we had it here in San Luis Obispo, same thing. Crazy. Yeah. And the people got a lot of money to leave. I don't understand. Okay, I understand. I'm patiently waiting for something else, because it's another very important story, so I'm pound and determined to wait till it shows up. I got some. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will, let's go on the phone. Let's say hi to somebody on the phone right now. Hello?
Oh, hi, Bill. It's
hi,
Dan and Los Osos.
How are you?
Yeah, I picked up the paper this morning, and now, of course, we got to wait for the other shoe to drop. Because it seems to me the good people of Paso Robles better take a sharp eyed look at Mr. App there.
Do you think?
The head guy and the city council members, and kind of ask who's minding the store.
I would say so. I don't. I mean, it just is amazing that the city manager and the police chief could have established a relationship that was such that, you know, and he stonewalled the whole thing right from the get-go. It just really is sad.
And if I'm not mistaken, if my memory is correct, Karen Veely, months ago when she first started breaking this, one of the stories allegedly had the police chief at a bar, dancing on the bar.
Yeah.
Well, you know, any time a police chief is up on a bar dancing, you just know that's not going to end real good.
Well, the other thing that's amazing, this is just amazing, besides the fact she touched an officer, I mean, even without that, I mean, the people who pass a Robles should again say, what the heck is going on here? When they had, when the person who's suing her for touching him, they were at the Carmel Valley Lodge, which is certainly no cheap deal, I can tell you that. I can't afford it, but anyway, the city of Paso Robles apparently could afford it for seven officers and a chief, and so it was then that she told everybody to get in the hot tub to finish their meeting.
Oh, and you just know that's not going to end.
That's not going to end good either. You know, it's like it's the weirdest thing in the whole world. I feel bad for the people of Paso. It's like they've just been hoodwinked and taken advantage of, I think.
Yeah.
And now they don't have a full police force, so they're going into safety mode thing, which basically means what Karen has told us, that they don't respond to all kinds of stuff unless, you know, somebody's getting killed.
Yeah. And my assumption is the city council is the one board that's supposed to be overseeing the general manager or the city manager and see that he does his duty, and that's App. And then App's job is to oversee the other people in the city to make sure they're doing their job. So I would have to bounce everything back to the city council and ask, why aren't those people out walking around their city and asking questions and have an ear to the ground and have relationships with police and other public officials to kind of just get a feel for what's going down and what the gossip is, and if there's any rumbling, you know, underground, they would pick up stuff and then pay attention.
Well, it is curious. The thing that's very interesting is that the woman that was hired from San Francisco to investigate these allegations obviously must have said in closed session there's something very wrong here, because obviously if they're going to let her go right away. But they didn't reveal what she said, because once again it gets down to these personnel matters.
Yeah.
So we will never know what the woman actually found out or was told. And
well,
so
I wonder if was this investigator supposed to write a report, and then since the taxpayers paid for it, that report public?
I doubt it, because they can just claim a personnel reason.
The investigation for the big mess in San Luis with the
banking.
That report was made public. If I remember,
excerpts were made public.
She spelled out, it was, you could read her official $250,000 report or whatever.
Well, but here was the thing. It was to her advantage in a way to come open with some of what was going on, because it was to her advantage in collecting a monetary sum from the city. So that's what she did. It was to her advantage to be found out by this other investigator, Lisa Solomon, because now she's leaving with $250,000 in her pocket. If I was the people that were suing her or were suing the city, I'd sue her. At least they know she has $250,000.
Well,
yeah.
They may.
Yeah, they can't, and she has to have it within 5 days.
Yeah.
So I get working on that.
Yeah.
I'm willing
to bet some kind of deal is going to be cut with App, and he may be heading out the door with a pocket full of change.
I don't understand.
But I still have to look at what in the hell the city council was doing there, if their responsibility was to see that this city is being administered properly.
When Pat Hedges had his problems as sheriff, and they, you know, there was accused of taping an under officer and all that, that was revealed, that was brought out, it was a personnel matter, but it was still revealed in the news. So now why this is not revealed, I don't know, but my take is this: if you are in a position to earn the kind of money that she was making as a head of a department in Paso Robles, and then you accept $250,000 to say, okay, I'll walk away from the city and not cause any more problems, which is the weirdest thing in the whole world anyway, then I'm sorry. I just don't think that you have the protection of it's a personnel issue anymore. I don't think that's right.
Well, there's so much about this that ends up not being right, you know.
That's what I think.
But as far as walking out the door with pots of money, that seems to be rather typical, because they figure it's much cheaper to just buy you off and get you out of there than it is to go to court or you know, fight anything in court.
Well, the problem is, though, the city's still going to fight stuff in court. You know, I mean, she'll be brought in as a witness
and
everything. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this thing isn't ended. It's gonna cost them a bundle.
Yep.
But I sure hope the good citizens start asking their city council people simple questions like, where the hell were you?
I don't know.
Because none of this happens in a vacuum.
Nope.
You know, it isn't like these were spies operating in Lithuania.
And here's the thing. I don't know if it's typical in California, in the country, but you're right. It's typical on the Central Coast to give people pockets full of money when they get booted.
Yeah.
And I find it mind-numbing. You know, and the letter writer had an important, the blogger, I guess you'd say, had a very valid point. You know, I mean, what are they doing giving Lisa Solomon $250,000 when they don't have enough police officers to make the city safe?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, well, if she had a contract, well, see, that's the other weird thing. If you have a contract and you are, and there's certain, I don't know, morals clause or criminal clause or something, they could nail you on that and dump your contract.
But here's the thing. It doesn't seem like Jim...
what was in that contract.
It doesn't seem like Jim App wants to do that.
Oh, Lord, no. But then he's probably on the same grease slide as she is.
Well, no, I have to say it's very awkward. I'm not suspicious. I'll use the term awkward. It's very awkward, in my opinion, that she would not have some kind of a morals clause in her contract. She's the chief of police, for gosh sakes.
It depends on who wrote that contract.
I guess. And if Jim App wrote the contract, then maybe, you know, maybe it's not there.
I don't know. And, yeah, I mean, that's, yes, there you go.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Yeah, well, if you look at what they did with the city of Bell, where people walked out the door with big piles of
money,
I don't think they were ever legally able to claw a lot of it back, because some of this $250 may be retirement or vacation.
Oh, they say her retirement, well, maybe, but they say her retirement, according to an officer who was not named, he said her retirement she can't even take a retirement for 7 years. She's not eligible for it for 7 years.
So she wasn't vested?
Yeah, just here's what you need to do. Go to calcoastnews.com.
Yeah,
well. No, let's go there and read the article below the Lisa Solomon firing about the funny emails. It's like, holy
cow.
Oh,
well, that's, there we go, you know.
I don't know. You know, I live in a world here that, you know, that's the private sector, that this stuff doesn't happen. I mean, it's not allowed to happen. You know what I mean?
Well,
people get booted. They get fired. They don't get handfuls of money, and they just get fired. They say, okay, you screwed up, you're fired.
Well,
that's what happens.
Unless you run a company to the ground and got stock options and walk out the door with big piles of money.
But, you know,
you
I'm
know,
just saying
happens.
The average soul around here, or a person who's running a company like a general manager, the general manager of this radio station was fiddly-foodling around. You can bet your fanny that he'd be gone.
Yep.
And they wouldn't give him a money kiss goodbye either.
Yeah.
So I don't, what's happening in the public sector with this kind of stuff, and it seems to be, you know, it happened in San Luis Paso, almost everything. And then you had the problem, the odd thing that happened with the Atascadero police chief. So there's just weird stuff that goes on in the hallowed halls of public service.
Yeah, you know what they used to, you know, over like the Supreme Court is, they have big engraved letters in marble over entrance to this, or, you know, over the city hall, in carved in marble. They should, and every city and county office building should be carved in marble as enter. Never put into writing anything you don't want to hear read out in a court of law.
Yeah, really.
And then maybe it might dawn on people they need to be a little, you know. Oh, dear.
Pretty amazing, Anna.
Well.
Life goes on, but we're sort of limping all the time, it seems.
Well,
like.
Yeah, I know, because we keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway. Well, this is a story. Well, I'm sure there's more shoes to fall.
I think so.
So there'll be clumping sounds coming in.
Thank you, madam, for the call today. Bye. Okay. Let me do this last story here. Wait a second. I was going to do that. Let me do this story here because this is important. Calcoast News. A teenager allegedly had a sexual relationship with Santa Maria police officer Alberto Covarrubias has filed a claim against the city that alleges department officials knew about the illicit relationship as far back as New Year's Eve. The claim, which describes the teen as Jane Doe, also says that even though the department knew about the relationship, officials allowed Covarrubias to drive the 17-year-old police Explorer Scout around his patrol car till the time of his death. On January 29th, Covarrubias resisted arrest and was shot and killed by his best friend, Officer Matt Klein. Police had discovered the 29-year-old suspect knew he was going to be arrested for sexual misconduct with a child and intimidation of a witness, police said. The fact that the criminal defendant is no longer with us doesn't change the culpability of the city, said Woodland Hills-based attorney Terry Goldberg, who filed the government claim on behalf of Jane Doe to, KCOY. And the filing, the attorneys claimed sexual harassment, sexual battery, false imprisonment, witness intimidation, and rape during the month of January. Teenagers are also seeking compensation for emotional damage that includes loss of reputation, since Jane Doe was the only female police explorer scout at the time, which Goldberg says subjected her to ridicule, contempt, and hatred, forcing her to leave school. And so the lawyer has more to say than that, but I thought that story was important to pass on. And that's what's going on CalcoastNews.com for today. I have due in here. I might have to go check. I might have to go check and see because Katie had to go to lunch, and she said, I'm going to leave the door open because I know you have somebody coming. So I should probably go out and look and see if somebody's actually here. And so and here's the problem. I could not find – I feel bad about it. I could not find the music. Wasn't there a thing called the FBI story or something? I couldn't find the music to that anywhere. So this is as close as I could get, all right? This is as good as I could do.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. That you find a pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret Asian man, secret Asian man, they've given you a number and taking away your name. Persuasive lips. The odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
Secret agent man. That's all I could find. I'm sorry. Ed. That's all I could find. And they had the FBI story, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. They had a TV series, you know, FBI thing.
Ephraim
Zimbalist. So here you are, a retired FBI guy,
yeah.
And I couldn't find squat. All right, we've made you a secret agent for the day.
Okay.
You have, let's first remind people who Ed Miller is. Ed is one of the lead singers and guitarists with Unfinished Business, our favorite rock and roll oldie group on the Central Coast. And so you're going to do this event. I'll let you talk about about it, and tell me where you got the idea to do this event.
Well, it's not a new idea. There's guitar shows done really all over the country every year. And I just thought that we've never had one here that I can recall.
Right, I've never heard of one
either. I've been here. And the ones in California are down in the L.A. area or up in the San Francisco area, which not a lot of people have the time to drive to.
Right, yeah.
And so I thought I'd give it a shot and put something together for the Central Coast, bring something here that hadn't been here before.
I think that's really neat. And are you pre-selling tickets?
No, we're going to sell them at the door.
Oh, at the door for $10.
$10
a day. And this is Friday. What is Friday, March 23rd, from 12 to 4? What's Friday?
That's for the dealer load-in.
Oh, the dealer.
Yeah,
well,
dealer load-in. Yeah,
okay.
That's not open to the public.
Okay.
Yeah, the tickets are $10. If you bring a guitar or an amplifier in to trade or sell, we'll give you a buck off because the dealers are looking to buy as much as they're looking to sell.
No, and you have to. I mean, I got to be honest with you. $10. I mean, you know, you can't buy an ice cream cone for $10
well,
anymore.
Or
that's
cup of coffee.
That's
sometimes.
That's a good deal. Yeah, really. No, that's really good. So now here's so tell me more what happens at these guitar shows. Do people that are dealers, do they sell, like, you know, these super famous jobs and stuff, or do they?
Well, there's vintage dealers that have, I guess, kind of the famous stuff, you know, the expensive stuff. Yeah, there's some vintage instruments that, you know, get pretty expensive because there aren't that many of them. You know, they were made a long time ago.
Maybe they belong to somebody special.
Well, there could be. There could be a star that owns something. I don't know what's going to be at the show necessarily until I see what the vendors bring in. But,
right. Yeah,
there's vintage dealers. There's dealers that deal in used equipment, or maybe a combination of new, used, and vintage. There'll be a little bit of everything there.
And how many dealers are you expecting?
Probably in the neighborhood of 30 dealers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a guy coming from Utah primarily to buy, and there's a lot of dealers from Southern California and up in the Bay Area that are coming down to bring their inventory.
And we make guitars here on the Central Coast, don't we?
We sure do.
Ernie Ball does.
Yeah. There's a local vendor that makes a brand called Esoteric and guitars. That's high-end electric guitars. And then there's a man in Pismo Beach that makes high-end acoustic guitars called Robinson Guitars.
Really?
So we're going to have some local small shop vendors that do some very fine work in creating some nice guitars.
I can understand and the only reason I can understand this is because Stradivarius made a violin that everybody wants one of, so you figure, okay, there must be something very special about acoustics, anything, so
yeah.
I accept that. What makes a high-end electric guitar a high-end, what makes it high-endish?
Well, a lot of it has to do with it being handmade.
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of anything anymore is made in high numbers, you know,
right,
heavily,
right.
You know, machine produced and so forth. And there are some great machinery out there that's called CNC that enables makers to do some very fine tolerance guitar making very quickly. But a lot of it has to do with the woods, the electronics, the hardware, how well it's assembled, and a lot of it usually has to do with aspects, if not the guitar being entirely made by hand.
Well, and that's, you'd have to admit, anything that's entirely made by hand, of course, is going to cost money for sure.
Right.
Anyway, I knew about Ernie Ball, but I didn't realize we had an acoustic guitar maker. I think I'd heard of the other one.
Yeah,
the electric guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about the acoustic guitar maker.
Yeah, Acoustic Guitar, National Guitars is in town. They make the resonator guitars, and Ernie Ball, and there's other manufacturers around.
Now, there was a guitar store, right? Wasn't that a guitar store that was on the corner in Arroyo Grande on Bridge Street and the main drag?
Yeah, it's still there.
Oh, I thought they
went out of business. Lightning Joe's Guitar Heaven.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah, great guitar store.
I don't know where I thought they went out of business. But
yeah, no, it's a very successful store.
Ira down the street passed away, but I didn't know about the thing.
Yeah, Ira.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, so... what can somebody expect? Let's say I'm a new guy and I'm going to buy a guitar. You know, let's do it this way.
Right.
I know how to play a guitar. Let's pretend that first.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Pretend.
So I know how to play a guitar. Maybe I'm in a band. How much money am I looking at to spend to probably buy an electric guitar?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll give you a range that
will
be specific to this show. First of all, you have a chance to win a free guitar at this show.
Cool.
Which is zero.
Zero
cost, you know, and
I might even take it up if I want a free one.
Yeah, we'll be giving away a guitar. It'll be a Fender Squire Stratocaster, Candy Apple Red with lipstick pickups. So there you start with a guitar not costing you anything, okay? All the way up to, and I don't know what these vendors are going to bring, but I know, for example, Esoteric guitars sell for about $3,000, and Robinson guitars sell for about $4,000. Again, very high-end, and then there's everything in between. And very well could be some fine vintage pieces that are in the five-figure range, if not possibly even six-figure range.
Wow.
That's some of the, you know, I don't know if we're going to have any 50s Les Pauls at the show, but those can be very well into the six-figure range.
Why?
Because there were only so many of them made. They were made in the 50s when everything was a little bit more well, it was almost entirely handmade, except for drill presses and bandsaws and things like that. So you're getting back to that handmade, high-quality components, a level of workmanship at the time that was very good, and there were only so many of them made.
Right.
And it just so happened that they were all highly sought after.
And, well, and somebody had, you have to figure, and anything, I don't care what it is, any product, anything, there's people whose names become famous and become, and like the instrument becomes like Les Paul.
Right.
I mean, if it hadn't been Les Paul, it had been somebody else would probably.
Right. Jimi Hendrix played a Fender Stratocaster most of the time. Eric Clapton played a lot of different instruments that he made more famous, like the Sunburst Les Paul back in the, when he was with John Mayall. So, yeah, there's a lot of guitars. Stevie Ray Vaughan played a Stratocaster. Some very popular models that definitely the star connection has a lot to do with.
Okay, so there's going to be, let's remind people, there's going to be new, used, and vintage guitars. There's going to be amps. There's going to be, and when you say effects, what does that mean?
Guitar pedals.
Okay.
Distortion boxes, okay. Different effects that guitarists use.
And then you have one of the people that's going to be there is your running mate in the Unfinished Business, and that's Jim Witt.
Jim Witt, our bass player, also does some singing. And, he's going to, Jim is a very high level repairman. Guitar repairman in the area. He does amazing things to fix some of the local instruments that are brought to him, and he'll have a booth advertising his repair business.
Cool.
For those who don't know about it, and I think he might also be selling some pieces because he's a collector and a dealer.
Good. Now let me ask you. Let's go back on the early life of Ed Miller, and you took.
Oh, now we're going to.
No, come on. Now we've got to find out what you know. A lot of people wanted to get into bands because they wanted to meet girls, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a totally legitimate reason to me.
I think
you know when you were young.
I agree.
But did you? What drew you to guitar?
Well, you know, it's not a unique experience that I had, but I remember the date, February 9th, 1964. It was a Sunday night. The show was called The Ed Sullivan Show, and the Beatles debuted in the United States on television. Probably still one of the highest rated or highest viewed shows of all time, especially in the music world. And, I was 12 years old, and I was just, struck by the... by this new thing that hit America, and of course I was just becoming aware of music more so as a young, almost a teenager, and I saw the reaction with my friends. I felt the reaction. I mean, I felt it myself. Music was amazing. I mean, I'd heard music before, but I don't remember much before the Beatles. My parents, I know they played Monavani and so forth
on their stereos and whatever
that was on the car radio. But I don't really remember much before then. But that the light bulb went on with me and music when I saw the Beatles. And from that point on, I kind of felt like I've always wanted to be a Beatle after that. So that's why our band does a lot of Beatles stuff. Jim likes the Beatles, too. You know, everybody in our band. A lot of people in music still
talk
about
the Beatles.
Now, here's
the thing. I'm going to commit a sin by saying this. I might even commit a sin to you, and you'll throw something at me. But here's the deal. They said yesterday in the news that they've redone completely frame by frame, fixed up Yellow Submarine, and they're going to release it on a DVD.
Well, it wasn't one of the Beatles' best movies, as far as I understand.
I'm not sure the Beatles have a best movie.
Well, I think Hard Day's Night was kind of historical. You know, in that it was probably one of the first music videos.
Right.
And it was black and white. I think it had a lot of critical acclaim for its time. And, of course, the timing was amazing. I mean, it just fueled Beatlemania so much more.
Sure.
And then Help after that probably wasn't as well received, but still was very popular with the public. And And I own copies of it on DVD to this day, you know, and a lot of people enjoy watching it still.
Amazing. It was an amazing group of guys.
But, yeah, but Yellow Submarine was not their most successful venture, either on vinyl or on the movie screen. But Ringo still sings Yellow Submarine in concert.
I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to get in trouble again with somebody. I know I am. I'm going to ask you this. I would not be compelled to go see Ringo Starr for a $5 ticket. I really mean that.
Really?
And I'm sorry to say that, but I wouldn't. Ringo Starr to me was the drummer. Shut up. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. Do you enjoy his music today?
Well, I can't say that I own a lot of it, and he probably hasn't had hits that are as big, certainly, as when he was with the Beatles. I mean, that's his fame, let's face it.
Yeah.
And the songs people go to hear him do are the ones that he sung with the band, which weren't that many.
Right.
But what he does in his concerts now that I think might make it more valuable to attend is that he has a lot of friends in the business that tour with him, name artists
like
Rick Derringer and Edgar Winter, and those guys all do their hits. So when you go see Ringo Starr, you see him, but you also see all these other artists who you've heard who are stars in their own right, because they're very connected to the whole Beatle thing, and they love going out with Ringo.
If you had to pick in your mind, so let's go back. So you see the Beatles, you see the girls are all crazy, going fainting and screaming and jumping up and down, throwing Sting on the thing. So did you immediately take up the guitar then?
Well, I started asking my parents
if I could have one.
And it took a while because my dad was not, you know, a lot of adults at that time weren't sure about the Beatles. You know, that was, you know, they'd just come off Elvis a few years before, and that was a little questionable. And the Beatles were just a little bit more of the same, you know. And, so my dad wasn't crazy about it. He was a pretty conservative dad.
Well, I had the same kind of dad, because the first thing we want to do is get a Beatles haircut, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. Well, you couldn't go to school with a Beatles haircut.
Oh, you couldn't.
A lot of people don't realize.
My father wouldn't leave the house with
the kids now wouldn't believe what the restrictions we were under. But, my mom, I credit my mom with finally allowing me to get a guitar and taking me to guitar lessons. I didn't last very long with the lessons, but she took me, and she took me to a flamenco teacher. That's not what I wanted. I wanted rock and roll. But it got me started, and I appreciate it to this day.
That's really fun. Between Montavani and the flamenco teacher, I'm cracking up over here. That's just exactly
what I'm talking about.
That's what's going on. That's what our
Montavani.
Parents like.
Go to a garage sale today. Now, Montavani.
Here's the thing that's interesting. My parents, for some reason, I don't know why, they like the Beatles, but they also, you know, they didn't get the hair kind of a thing. So they didn't get why women were falling all over themselves. And I said, excuse me, you know, you were back when Frank Sinatra had women doing the same thing. And you'd go, well,
those with the turf,
okay, whatever. But the, you know who they did like, which, and I don't blame them, I mean, she had great tunes and great hits, was Mary Wells.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we do a lot of Motown in our band. And, very popular to this day.
See, I remember, I think if I had to say where I became really started being familiar with music, sadly, I go all the way back to Mitch Miller when he was on TV, and I don't want to admit that I cared about it. I didn't, but my parents and my older brother seemed to enjoy it. So
we sung along with the records.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really got into Motown. I really, really enjoyed Motown music.
Well, that's what the Beatles you know, if you talk to them today, what they liked back in the late 50s, early 60s, they liked the soul music from America.
Right. Yeah. Now, if I was to ask you what your favorite, who do you think is the best guitarist that's been? Do you have an answer to that?
Well, Jimi Hendrix, pretty good. Eric Clapton, across the spectrum of styles that he's done in his career. I mean, he's basically a rock guitarist, but he's covered all the bases. At the Concert for George, he even played with an Indian orchestra.
Really?
Yeah, so there's so many. I mean, my favorites, are pretty much in the area of Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, and I could add.
Okay, but here's what you're doing. But this is interesting, because I don't play guitar, I don't play any instrument, and I can barely play the microphone here. So but those names are the names I hear people say, you know, when you talk about who a great guitarist were and that kind of thing. Those are the names you hear.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
But my favorite band still is the Beatles, and George Harrison, even though he wasn't as, advanced in his guitar styling like those other guys, you know, they all loved what he did, too.
Yeah.
In fact, Clapton played on some of the Beatle records, uncredited.
Wow. It's amazing. It was just amazing. It was an amazing era. There's no question about that.
Golden age.
Just amazing things happened back then. So here we have a guitar show. It's the Central Coast 2012 Guitar Show. It's the first time that I know of, and Ed and I have been here about the same time, that I've heard of a guitar show, and I think that's a great idea. I think you had a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. A lot of other people are, too.
Sure. Oh, you bet. Okay, yeah. So let's remind people where this is. It's at the Santa Maria Fairgrounds, correct?
It's at the Fair Park in the Park Plaza building. Yeah, right. It's going to be rain or shine because it's indoors. You might have to run from your car to the door if it's raining, but we're hoping for a reasonably dry
weekend.
Well,
here's what they're showing us now, and this may change still because it's only Wednesday, and you know how things change.
Yeah.
That crazy jet stream moves up and down, plays with itself. They're showing good weather Saturday, but rain on Sunday. And I know a lot of people are having events. There's a huge Vietnam veterans event in Guadalupe on Sunday, and I'm hoping that thing decides to shove itself over a little bit. You know,
we want our weekends.
Yeah, we want our weekends. Yeah. And why don't? It's not fair. It's not fair. You know what they say in big cities, though? Like down in L.A., they did a research study, and they found that, in fact, weekends were more often bad in major metropolitan areas because the smog from the cars eventually collected into the atmosphere and created bad weather.
I see.
You know, but we don't, I don't know. We don't have that many
we're
cars
just
there.
Blessed up here.
No, here we are. You know, I was watching the weather today, too, and I said to Nancy, you know what? I like this never too strange weather that we have.
Yeah.
You know, these people got tornadoes and they got hurricanes and they have rain that's like insane.
Yeah.
And I go, we don't have that.
Yeah, it's kind of boring around here.
That's fine. I'm good with it. I'm good to go with that. All right. So it's right there on Thornburg, on 937 South Thornburg. And
get off at Stoll, off the freeway. Right, just take a straight shot west and up to Thornburg.
And you'll see the, yeah, there's the building.
Right.
And once again, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, $10 a day. It goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and so don't forget there's going to be all kinds of new and used stuff. There's going to be dealers for guitars, amps, other accessories.
All things guitar is what we say.
All things guitar. All right. And
our band's playing Saturday night also at the Santa Maria Inn. Unfinished Business will be playing from 7 to 10. We're playing it from 7 to 10. It's, you know, featuring a little bit of an exhibitor jam because some of these guys are from out of town. They're musicians.
Sure.
So we're going to let a few of them that want to get up and play with us. But otherwise, we're going to be playing our 60s rock and roll in Motown.
Cool.
And so forth.
That's fun, though. That's an easy place to play.
Right.
All right. And then and on the flyer, he has the right thing. He's pumping it right here. Mm-hmm. And visit wineries. Enjoy Santa Maria Barbecue.
Yep. We want it to be a destination.
That's right.
We're also having glad to have the Rotary Club of Napomo doing a concession during the show.
Oh, good.
They'll be doing tri-tip sandwiches and through the lunch hour and donuts and coffee in the morning, sodas and so forth. So we're doing that a little bit, and it's going to be a total guitar experience.
Sounds like a good event.
Yeah,
it does. If you have any questions, you can call Ed at 431-3067. That's 431-3067, or go on the internet to Central Coast Guitar Show. @charter.net. That's Central Coast Guitar Show @charter.net and centralcoastguitarshow.com.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. I just think it's really great.
Bill.
Do you buy older guitars?
I have a modest collection.
Okay.
Yeah. I think all guitarists, if they have one, something happened. Either there was a divorce or something, you know. No, I have a modest collection and I'm still married too, so that helps.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's absolutely fun. All right. Well, I hope if you have any questions, again, don't forget to call 431-3067. It's this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Santa Maria Fair, what do you call it?
Fair Park. Santa Maria
Fair Park. And it's just going to be a great event, and I thank Ed for taking the time to come in.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Remember when you believed in the tooth fairy? You'd lose a tooth, get a nickel or a dime, maybe later a quarter, a buck, a Macy's gift certificate, whatever. Point is, don't you wish you could trade any of those for an actual tooth? They get older and they go away faster than Santa, the Easter Bunny, and of course the Tooth Fairy, which turned out was Dad dressed in drag. Swiss Dental Center and Dr. Carol Phillips can help you believe in yourself with the confidence of new teeth. Dr. Phillips sympathizes with your fantasies but understands your realities. Opposing teeth. Without those, you're only gumming soft food. Imagine real implanted teeth that will really change your life. Your body tries to reject dentures, and all you can do is add more dental goo to try and hold them in place. It's a losing battle. Tooth implants replace the real thing naturally. Go to SwissDentalCenter.com and see how Dr. Carol Phillips can make an apple a day fun again. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
Right here, right here, right now, right here with Bill Benica, Talkers Chief, Friends and Neighbors Network, and News and Commentary. And let me mention something right here about Spencer's Fresh Market, because today they're doing this new special thing, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so today you can get an 8-piece bucket of chicken. That was a bucket. Everybody's used to hearing that. I'm not sure if it's a bucket or not. It's an 8-piece. It's been served in something. Chicken for $5. 8 pieces, $5. You can't beat that. What, are you kidding me? All right, so you go to any Spencer's, and they'll have that for you. Then you can chow down on some chicken. And then don't forget all the other great things that Spencer's has, the local products, you know, and the butcher shop that grinds their meat, you know, fresh daily. And I somehow want to compel you to go try hamburger that's freshly ground as opposed to what most people sell that comes up from L.A. The difference is unbelievable. And then they have Frank Boucher cakes, and so Frank makes these wonderful, beautiful cakes that you don't want to say Madonna in cakes, because they're not anymore. They're Frank Boucher Spencer cakes, but he was the guy that was there and invented it, so you can't beat that. And he has other good stuff too. You know, he's got breakfast jobs, and he's got rolls and whatnot. I mean, he's got some yummy stuff. So I would, if you want to have some really good bakery stuff. And you know what's weirdly weird is, you know, one of the things that's always common about since the bakery that was downtown burned down years and years and years and years and years ago, Carlox is still out in Los Osos, but we haven't had a lot of bakery stuff. We haven't had a lot of bakeries. But now you can go to Spencer's and you can get really delightful bakery goods. So I don't, you're missing the boat if you're not doing that. And they have fresh baked bread too and all that. All right, so Spencer's is a destination. It really is. And don't forget they have their indoor farmer's market where they have all the great produce and everything. And they'll just take good care of you. And the people there are just the nicest in the whole wide world. So visit your Spencer's market. The original was in Santa Maria. So if you're heading for the guitar show this weekend, you might want to stop in there. Or in Arroyo Grande, Atascadero, Morro Bay, or San Luis Obispo. Spencer's Fresh Market, where freshness is local. Oh, I got a thing to play for you here that's really cute. Let's see if it plays. All right. I don't know how much promise it's going to give me. This is a 2-year-old girl. All right. This is a 2-year-old girl. And she belts out an Adele hit. Now, it was interesting because I was watching today on the TV, and they had young people talking about what young people are listening to and what they're doing. And Adele has had 3 songs in the top 10 for 2 months. So, but they didn't mention her name, which I thought was really weird, you know? But anyway, all right, so here's a 2-year-old giving it a go, and we'll see if it goes.
A superstar in the making is taking the viral video world by storm. You got to check out 2-year-old McKenna really, really likes Adele. Her parents videotaped her singing the song Someone Like You. Now, let's take a listen to the future Adele. I'm going to make the call right now. Future Grammy winner right there. Did you notice how McKenna really got into it? She's just 2, but already feeling the music.
Yeah, singing dogs, singing kids. We'll do anything right here. Right on. This was a big, huge story in the sports world right there, and that's the NFL suspending the Saints head coach, Sean Payton, for the 2012 season. I guess there's an assistant coach, right, or whatever. Anyway, that's really, you know, because they had this hit squad thing, this bounty business where they pay people to take somebody out. I don't know if they, and I never played football because I was a little weenie, and so it didn't make any sense. I my head wouldn't hold up the helmet, you know. So I wonder though, in sports, if football player, I would think. That in the football players, they used to try to take out the quarterback, that was for sure, but then they made it so you're not allowed to take out the quarterback, really. And so, but they were definitely, everybody was out to get the quarterback and see if they could screw him up. No question in my mind. Now, I don't know about other positions, but I can tell you that. I can just tell from seeing it. All right. Here they have this crazy shooting in Florida. And I'll tell you what people are. And they had a woman who sounded exactly like Flip Wilson doing Geraldine. Comment about the whole thing. But the thing that is totally not understood at this point, but I think I have a thing here I can find for us, and that is this neighborhood watch commander guy that shot this young teen. He hasn't been arrested. He hasn't been arrested. And it's totally, people are outraged at it. And I can understand why they feel outraged at it. It just doesn't seem to make sense that you can shoot somebody and not be arrested for it. So I don't get it. It's another one of those things I don't get today. But I'll see. Well, there's a lot of information on the Internet about it, so I'll see what we can find and see what they have to say. It's just about 1 o'clock, so we're going to do our CBS News and find out what's happening in our world. And once again, weather-wise, we're supposed to have okay weather, a little bit cooler after today, and then rain possibly on Sunday. We hope it'll shift over to Monday or something so it doesn't screw up the weekend events.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says no more. No more paying bounties for defensive hits that take key players out of games. Just won't fly anymore.
This type of behavior and accepting this type of a program is not going to be tolerated.
Goodell on the NFL Network says that after suspending New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton for the entire season and his defensive coordinator indefinitely without pay.
We were misled. And there were denials throughout that period. And meanwhile, there continue to be risks to our players and to the integrity of our game.
In Jerusalem today, as in Paris, funeral services for the 7 victims of the professed Al-Qaeda terrorist on a motorbike. The killings happened in the Toulouse area, and the suspect continues to hold off the police who surround the building he is in and try to talk their way to an arrest without further violence. Afghan officials say they are more satisfied with the U.S. military response to the massacre of 16 civilians in Kandahar. This as the Army takes another and closer look at its mental health programs.
We have in the military writ large over 50,000 folks in uniform who have had at least 4 deployments.
And Army Secretary John McHugh admitted repeated deployments are probably the leading cause of stress, but said it would be hard to link that to something like the massacre in Afghanistan.
The fact that this is receiving understandably so much attention, I think, underscores that very fact.
McHugh said the challenge has been finding enough mental health experts. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
American servicemen still missing in action in North Korea will remain that way. The U.S. is suspending efforts to recover the remains of thousands.
We do hope at some point to be able to re-engage the effort. As I said, this is a top priority, but it's suspended for now.
Pentagon spokesman George Little says North Korea's bellicose statements are provocative and now is not the time to undertake recovery of MIAs. A turncoat government scientist goes to prison for spying.
When he was first charged with attempted espionage, NASA scientist Stuart Nozette could have faced life in prison. But following a guilty plea, Nozette has now been sentenced to 13 years. In court, he expressed remorse for what he called a fatal lack of judgment, which was vividly captured on video with an agent posing as an Israeli spy. Nozette casually negotiates the sale of top-secret national defense files, telling an undercover FBI agent that he's seen everything that the U.S. has ever done in space.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis is in Washington. Just being in a hospital can make an older person forget things. It's a new study in the journal Neurology.
The average effect of being hospitalized on cognitive function was equivalent to the effect of being more than 8 years older in the study.
Dr. Robert Wilson at Rush University Medical. On Wall Street, the Dow down 36 points, NASDAQ up 4. Oil prices a little below 107 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot. These are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a highly trained farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
This is going to be, and already is in some areas, one brutal pollen season.
For many of the 40 million Americans who have seasonal allergies, the symptoms started early.
It's brutal. I can't even open my eyes. It's bad. I carry these Kleenex with me everywhere I go.
A good two-thirds of the country had a very mild winter.
Biology professor Estelle Levitin says warmer weather is causing trees and flowers to bloom ahead of schedule, kicking pollen into the air. Now, this might be an early allergy season,
but it may not necessarily be the worst.
She says that depends on day-to-day weather. For instance, a good rain can wash a lot of pollen out of the air.
That's CBS's Heather Bosch. Two men have been arrested for allegedly plotting to break a woman out of prison in Tennessee. The woman is Krista Gayle Pike, the only woman on death row in the state. One of the men arrested is a former prison guard arrested in Tennessee. The other's a longtime friend of the woman and frequent visitor to the prison. He was arrested in New Jersey. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Java lovers out there in Radio Land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Do-do-do-wah, shooby-dooby.
tell me how much you miss me. When the last time I saw you, you wouldn't even kiss me. That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. So welcome back, baby, to the poor side of town. To him, you were nothing but a little plaything. Not much more than an overnight fling. To me, you were the greatest thing this boy had ever found. And girl, it's hard to find nice things on the poor side of town. I can't blame you for trying. I'm trying to make it too. I've got one little hang up, baby. I just can't make it without you. So tell me, are you gonna stay now? Will you stand by me, girl, all the way now? With you by my side, they can't keep us down. Together we can make it, baby, from the poor side of town. Down. Together we can make it, baby, from the poor side of town.
Possibilities to make your mouth look and work like it should. Teeth, they come, they go, they come again, and then when they go the second time, it's goodbye forever. There's nothing you can do about the aging process that starts the loss of your permanent teeth. It's a bummer, but now you have two choices: false teeth and bridges, and the pasty goop necessary to make those objects try and cling to your gums and the roof of your mouth, or 21st century implants offered by Swiss Dental Center. Identical to the real teeth you've lost without any more problems. Imagine, Dr. Carol Phillips can make it possible to chew normally, to eat normally, to actually enjoy chewing and eating normally. If you have tooth loss for whatever reason, go to SwissDentalCenter.com and let others tell you what Dr. Carol Phillips has done to help their lives. Dr. Carol Phillips, the most experienced tooth implant specialist on the Central Coast. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
Yay. Yay. Yeah. Hey, you're Bill Benneke, Talk of Sheep. And let me mention this. Dr. Carol Phillips is a helping sponsor our show today and our get-together. And so go see Dr. Carol Phillips because she has all the stuff you need to get your mouth right. And then you can also go on SwissDental.com and SwissDentalCenter.com and find out testimonials and stuff, what people have to say about what she does. And you can read more about it and all that. Because I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet and ask her how come it's called Swiss Dental Center. I don't know. All right, now, let's talk about, well, here's the thing we were talking about. It says Florida law impacts the Trayvon Martin case, and we will start that in just a sec. After
shoulders that others depend on to get the job done. So when there's a lot riding on your shoulders, there's a lot riding on ours.
Welcome to Fairfield Inn & Suites.
Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott. Let's get it done.
Florida law is so peculiar and so protective of people who shoot people that I am not surprised that Zimmerman has not been arrested, and I'm not sure he's going to be arrested.
Really?
Because I think the law is basically an invitation to use deadly force under basically any circumstance. It allows disproportionate use of force. It says that if you feel threatened, reasonably threatened, even without a gun, you can use deadly force.
But even
in response,
if you have pursued that person, even if you have gotten out of your vehicle.
Though that it's a very robust law and very broad, probably the broadest law out there in terms of stand your ground laws, bottom line is there's always that exception, Jeff, and you know that. If you are the first aggressor, if you are pursuing, you cannot avail yourself of this self-defense claim. And I think that is so very clear. Had this been in any other jurisdiction, he would have been arrested and charged with a homicide.
The problem here is we don't know what happened between the 911 call where he says stay away and the altercation.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of time.
Trayvon Martin's father is sure that's his son calling out for help. That hasn't been confirmed by eyewitnesses at this point.
But how they wound up next to each other is just not clear.
He pursued him. Zimmerman pursued him and followed him.
He said he was going to,
But he also claims the 911 tape that Trayvon Martin is approaching his car.
Right.
So.
But he runs away because Zimmerman says on that 911 tape, on one of them, he is running. He's running away. And that's what we tell our kids all the time, right? Stranger danger, you run away. I tell my son that. If somebody's approaching you,
you feel
unsafe,
you run.
We
don't know if Trayvon
Martin
identified this guy as a neighborhood watch person.
Absolutely.
We have no idea.
And that's why, I mean, I think, you know, it's important to reserve judgment for a while and let an investigation go forward. I mean, this was a residential neighborhood. There could have been people who saw what went on here. I'd like to know.
But it's been a month. This happened February 26th. I think in any other jurisdiction with the same set of facts, perhaps with a different race attached to the parties, there would have been arrest.
Young male with a hoodie and white tennis sneaker. Look, I'm wearing white tennis sneakers now and blue jeans. This is literally what I wear every day. If it was a white male walking this neighborhood with this guy Zimmerman, have been saying, "Oh, this person looks like they're on drugs and suspicious."
Well, when the lawyer said, "You know, if Trayvon had been the shooter, is there any chance in the world that he would not be in custody at this point?"
The answer is no.
But I mean, I just think I've been looking into this today. There are a bunch of Florida deaths where someone with a gun shot an unarmed person, and as a result of the Stand Your Ground law, there was no prosecution. So,
the exception of the first aggressor still stands and applies in Florida, and I can't believe that the investigators are saying that there is nothing to dispute the self-defense claim.
Do you think there will be an arrest?
I hope there will be an arrest.
I just don't know. I mean, I hope we learn more about the circumstances because there's a lot we don't know. And, I mean, it's just a sickening story because this little young kid is dead and it
carrying
appears
Skittles
like this.
And iced tea.
So here this guy's armed with a 9mm pistol, and the kid was armed with a bag of Skittles. So I don't know what to think about it. I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand. All right, here's something else that came up I thought I should mention, and that is also in NFL news. As we know, the Broncos picked up Manning yesterday. New Orleans, Tim Tebow is going to the Jets. Hallelujah. So that's what's going on. Now, the city has okayed this idea of a pilot effort for park homeless. 5 spaces are approved to accommodate people sleeping in their cars on city streets. This is the Brado Daycare Center, which is right next to where they are anyway. So they're looking at the council delayed a discussion that would have directed staff to study ways to create stricter laws regulating overnight camping and vehicles, making enforcement easier for police officers. Excuse me. Here's what's really weird. And yesterday's news, it said it's a growing problem. You know, the homeless that are living in the streets is a growing problem. It's not their fault. It's a growing problem for us to solve, I guess. Yeah. So the Mitt won Illinois, as you may have heard. His delegate count is up to 563. He needs 1144. Okay, and then here's another story right here. Environmental study cites efforts on everything from noise and air quality, animals and land use. The State Lands Commission has released its environmental analysis of high-energy offshore seismic mapping planned by PG&E for late this year. The study concludes that the work will have significant impacts on air quality, land and marine animals, greenhouse gas emissions, land use, recreation, and noise. Holy dump truck. This was from mapping the seismic stuff out in the ocean? All that's going to happen? Wow. We should have done this a long time ago. We didn't know. We didn't know. Okay. Now, we got the gossip news here. Gabor's daughter takes legal action. Woman seeks conservatorship for a 95-year-old glamour queen away from her husband. And so she says she has to take care of it. Then, because she says he's been isolating her. I don't think she's out, like, playing tennis, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, they got that. Betty offers birthday advice to Carl Reiner, who just turned 90. She said, milk it. And she has a new, and this is really weird. So she starts a new show called Off Their Rockers. She's going to be a new show called Off Their Rockers. And this is funny. White said Reiner should have people spoil him rotten. Reiner, and this is what they say. Reiner created the Dick Van Dyke Show. That's it? That's it? He created a lot of stuff. Okay, fine. Okay. Dame Edna Everidge, the Tony Award drag act known for her purple hair and oversized rhinestone eyeglasses, will soon open her final stage show tour in Australia. It comes 57 years after her debut. Barry Humphries, the actor and satirist who created Australia's self-proclaimed housewife superstar, wants to take the farewell show Eat, Pray, and Laugh to Britain and New York over the next 2 years following the two-month Australian tour. And then Kiss and Motley Crue are going to be launching a 40-city tour on July 20th. You don't miss that. All right, anything else? You know what's really fascinating about this earthquake in Mexico is how little damage it did. It really didn't do much damage. I mean, you consider the size of it. I mean, it was really quite amazing, to tell you the truth. 7.4 magnitude. There are no reports of serious injury or major damage. This is one of the strongest they've ever felt, they said. But luckily, it was about 12 miles below the surface. So they show some train tracks here that all of a sudden are a little wiggly, which would probably be rough to drive a train on, but. You know, they came up pretty good in this thing. I'm really glad. The last time they had an earthquake down in Mexico, they didn't come out worth a damn. All right. Now, this was an interesting... this is interesting right here. The battle's about to start. The battle's about to begin. Okay. They are two bad boys of the American diet linked to a variety of ailments, including obesity, diabetes, and tooth decay. But now sugar is taking high fructose corn syrup to court in a landmark battle over which is the greater evil. In a lawsuit that goes before a Los Angeles federal judge today, sugar producers accuse the corn industry rivals of false advertising in a campaign that casts the liquid sweetener as nutritionally the same as table sugar and claims your body can't tell the difference. They say that's not true. That's not true. Corn industry's fighting it, you know, and they got big bucks behind them, Archer Daniels, Midland, and Cargill, et cetera. Anyway, so they're just saying this is, so what they want to do is they want to call high fructose corn syrup to, they want to change that to just corn sugar. Right. Want to take bets on this one? I would say that high fructose corn, they can't advertise for high fructose corn syrup is the same as sugar, because it's not. I thought they were going to find out. And then we had this story about Amelia Earhart yesterday, right? And you know what? Did we say what the clue was? What happened was this island, just off this one island, and here's the island here. It's the name of the island is, let me get this right for you. It used to be called Nikumaroro. You're saying, Bill, that can't possibly be it. I'm telling you, it is. Nikumaroro. Nikumaroro. In what is now the Pacific nation of Kiribati. So that's easier to say. Kiribati. So that's what, anyway, so it's right off the. And what they feel that they've seen in a photograph that they hadn't ever noticed before. I don't know how you can investigate this woman's disappearance for all these years and not see this, but anyway, is what looks like the landing gear and the wheels of the Lockheed Electric plane that she vanished in. So anyway, they're going to send down the deep dive and robots and whatnot and see if she's there. And Fred Noonan's there, and the plane is there. Okay. Now, this is a kind of fascinating little tale, one that I wasn't familiar with at all, I have to admit. And that is that what they're saying here is that open adoption is becoming the new norm. So what happens is about 55% of U.S. adoptions now include parent-adopter relationships. So the you adopt a kid, but the people that are put the baby up for adoption have to approve you as a family, and then they stay in contact to some degree. Just a little bit weird, I think. But, you know, maybe it's not anymore for people, maybe especially younger people, because, you know, now they have, what do they call these families, what do they call them? Splintered families, extended families, whatever they call these people. They don't even divorce five times, and the kids from eight different marriages, and it's like, oh, So I guess if they're all used to that, you know, it's probably no big deal. Yeah. You can see where that might work. Okay. All right. Now, we should have mentioned this right back-to-back with the great thing about the nuclear power plant study. U.S. nuclear plant owners not saving funds for closures. Operators of facilities with expiring license tend to let structures sit unused for years. Well, that can't be right. Anyway, so that's what they're saying. The operators of 20 of the nation's aging nuclear reactors, including some whose licenses expire soon, have not saved nearly enough money to prompt and proper dismantling. It turns out that they must close. The owners intend to let them sit like industrial relics for 20 to 60 years or even longer while interest accrues in the reactor's retirement accounts. Decommissioning a reactor is painstaking and expensive process. Involves taking down huge structures and transporting the radioactive materials to the few sites around the country that can bury them. Cost is projected at $400 million to $1 billion per reactor, which in some cases is more than what it cost to build the plants in the 1960s and 70s in the first place. So that's really interesting. Right? So we get Diablo Canyon may just sit there for 60 years after it stops working. But we just got that big new chunk of land that's part of Montaña de Oro Park, right? So, you know, as long as they remove the nuclear stuff from the place, you know. I don't really need to go there. But the moment, you know, you find out you can't, people want to. what is it about people? I can't? I can't. That's what I'm telling you right now. I can't? I can't. All right. And then this is interesting. These people apparently didn't have much money, but you know, this is one thing they've talked about, and I told you about it. They put these like snake-looking things, they're mechanical, in the water, and the waves generate electricity. So a plan to harness wave power alongside the nuclear power produced at San Onofre Beach has all been dead in the water. Federal regulators have pulled the plug on the licensing process for the operation proposed to 2010 by Fountain Valley-based JP Products. The company's general manager, Chung Kim, had hoped to put thousands of ocean wave power generators a mile offshore. The goal was to harness more than 3,000 megawatts of electricity. But the Fed said that without federal grant money or a business partner, Kim could not provide the baseline information or conduct the necessary studies to even apply to build a generator. There, you got no dough. You got a great idea. Probably we could use it, you know, for that fossil fuel stuff we've been talking about. But for right now, it's not going to happen. For right now, it's not going to happen. Okay, because I picked Johnny Rivers to play today because we had the secret agent man thing, and then even though there wasn't a secret agent, and so then I just decided to play other stuff that he has done. So that's not the one I'm supposed to play. I'm supposed to play this one. So let's see what happens. Hi, you're Bill. Talk of Sheep. This is Bill's News and Commentary, and so I was just noticing something here. Let me see if I can get this. Right here. Here's some of the music from the new Hunger Games. It's going to be opening on Friday, and it's going to be the biggest thing in the whole wide world for years. Here's the thing. So we have this is one the Decemberists called One Engine. I think maybe these are all from it. No, I don't think so. Safe and Sound, featuring the Civil Wars and Taylor Swift. And Tomorrow Will Be Kinder from the Hunger Games soundtrack, The Secret Sisters. I know Taylor Swift, I know of her. I don't know who the Secret Sisters are. But anyway, there it is. Okay. I thought I'd get a little info on that. Okay, let's see what else is going on today. Let's see what's happening. I should probably have another story up here on the... Let's talk about the soldier in Afghanistan. He's not in Afghanistan anymore. He's here. And this is this interesting thing that they're saying that about what he might or may not remember. He may or may not remember. But then again, it's not playing, so it doesn't matter anyway. Oh, yeah, it's trying. All right, well, let's take its time. When it starts playing, I'll shut up. It's the only way to do it.
The only way to do it.
We had to have side-based mapping years ago, I'm telling you that. Okay, wait, it's starting to go. Oh, it's going to go around in circles now. It's like, come on, getting there. Loading. And then official shares new details of soldier's story here. Army Sergeant Nisley suggested he shot insurgents, not civilian women and children. Staff Sergeant Robert Bales had indicated to his buddies that he had taken out some military-age males, the senior official said. Soldiers frequently use that term to denote insurgents. But Bales suggested he had a legitimate military purpose for an unauthorized foray off base in the middle of the night, apparently unraveled when the base commanders began learning the grisly details of the massacre. At that point, the 38-year-old Army veteran was taken into custody. Bales refused to talk further and soon asked to speak to a lawyer, two officials said. The top Allied commanders in Afghanistan told Congress on Tuesday he would not be recommending further U.S. troop reduction until late next year. What is that?
At Intel, sponsors of tomorrow means we're sponsors of transportation technologies that will make rush hour a moving experience. Of retail becoming tailor-made, so shopping's as personal as style. And of using next-generation education to prepare the next generation. And that's just the beginning. Because sponsoring tomorrow starts today.
Jeff, Bales' attorney told CBS that he's not going to pursue an insanity defense, but a diminished capacity defense. What is that?
I think in the real world, it means one thing. He's trying to save him from execution. This is all about the penalty phase. And you can start putting on evidence that's useful in a penalty phase during the guilt phase, but it's a mental defense that says to the jury, he's guilty, but don't execute him.
Sanjay, Bales' attorney also told CBS that Bales has no memory of the incident that left 16 Afghan civilians dead, if in fact he was involved in that. He said Bales has an early memory of the evening and a later memory of the evening, but nothing in between. I suppose you could look at that as, well, that's a convenient legal argument that he has no memory of it, or that there's a medical reason for that. Is that possible? Is that typical of someone to completely block something out like that?
Well, it is possible, and what he sort of was describing is not completely blocking it out, but sort of having these lapses in memory as you described. And this is not that unusual, and it is more common in someone who's undergone a high-stress event. We find people are more likely to describe the events as being confused. Yes, I remember I was there at the scene, but I don't remember specifics of what happened there, or I thought somebody else was actually also there at the scene, and they weren't, so they can forget memories, they can add in details that aren't accurate. So that is not that uncommon in someone but this is very different than an amnesia, where someone has completely blocked out an event, or if they've blocked it out because of drugs or alcohol, that can happen as well. In this sort of situation, it's more like chunks are missing.
Jeff, the attorney's also suggested that Bales was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Do you think that is part of a viable defense, or is that also just getting to that diminished capacity?
It's really just getting to the jury saying, look, we know he's guilty, but we are not going to execute him for this. Jurors are very reluctant to give someone a break for insanity in terms of guilt. That defense almost never works. But surprisingly, even in really horrific crimes, you see jurors, even in places like Texas, military juries like this one, where the jury says there is a physical reason why this action took place, whether it's an injury, a disease, PTSD, and they wind up giving life in prison rather than the death penalty.
So, Sanjay, I mean, you've studied PTSD now for years and its effects on troops. Could PTSD lead someone to do something like this? I mean, is that a part of a viable defense from a medical standpoint?
It's really tough to say, and I think, what Jeff said, it's a tough one to prove as well. I mean, this is a profound response to a traumatic event of some sort. People can feel very keyed up. They can feel very anxious, no question. It can be very debilitating. The one thing that's very unusual here and doesn't seem to fit in with PTSD is this idea of predatory violence. While someone may react out of proportion in response to some sort of event, a seemingly harmless event. Predatory violence is not something that, you know, in our investigations we've seen associated with PTSD.
So very interesting. So anyway, that's what's going on with the soldier. Now, here's the other thing, too, that I'm going to say this to you, and I mean this honestly. If you had to serve your rest of your life with the Marines at Fort Leavenworth and soldiers, if you had to live the rest of your life under those circumstances, you might prefer death. I'm just saying. It's kind of weird. All right. Let's talk about other things that are going on in our world, because we've got some crazy stuff going on. California State University trustees on Tuesday approved a 10% pay hike for two campus presidents after administrators outlined a grim financial forecast calling for sweeping cuts that will deny admission to thousands of students. CSU administrators say the increases are necessary to attract and retain top executive talent. The trustees approved a base salary of $303,000 for CSI East Bay President Leroy Murshida and $324,000 for CSU Fullerton President Mildred Garcia, as well as $12,000 car allowance for both. $12,000 a year car allowance. And so what they're saying is that there's no way you could hire somebody that could run a state university for less than $300,000. Why are we to believe that? Why do we believe that? There's people, brilliant people. There's people that could obviously. There's so many people out of work right now that are top notch pros at doing lots of stuff. It's just screwy. It's just completely, the world's turned upside down somehow, and we weren't looking. All right. Now, the UN is asked to investigate inmate isolation as torture. Here's a nonviolent inmate, third strikes in solitary confinement for 15 years. Here's a 52-year-old who's been 28 years in solitary confinement. Over 26 years in solitary, another guy. Calling solitary confinement torture, California prisoners and advocates are asking the United Nations to investigate the segregated housing of gang members at prisons throughout the state. They have California treating several thousand prisoners in much the same way the U.S. Government treats enemy combatants held in Guantanamo, said Peter Shea, an attorney representing hundreds of inmates. Shea, who announced the petition at a news conference in L.A., on Tuesday, alongside prisoners' relatives, said solitary confinement is devastating to the physical and mental health in prisoners and is likely to increase their risk of committing more crimes upon release. Petition was filed on behalf of about 400 prisoners, including Walter J. Cotto at Corcoran State Prison. Every single moment I spent in those torture chambers has chipped away my humanity, Cotto wrote. Anyways, now we've got to see if that's cruel and unusual again. You tell them to Leavenworth, see how they like it there. That's just a thought. I'm just sharing thought. One of his thoughts out. Okay, other things are going on. Okay, now this is really weird. Again, the world has spun completely off on its axis right now. The Kony video, Uganda sees tourism opportunity. Premier takes to YouTube to counter harsh image of nation and to invite people to visit. So this Kony thing has come out, and as you know, Kony 2012, and it's gotten, I forget how many millions of hits on the internet, a whole bunch of them, and it's millions and millions. And so they're saying that they're a really fun country, and they were the best country in the world to visit, is what they're saying. And the deluge of attention has followed a Kony 2012 video. Invisible Children, an advocacy group based in San Diego, this East African nation, is scrambling to react. The government released its own YouTube video last week in response, trying to make control to retake control of its own image. Where did I read this other thing? No, come and see Uganda for yourself, it says. Okay, oh, here's the thing right here. The Ugandan Prime Minister's YouTube video reached almost 80,000 viewings by Tuesday evening. For comparison, an erotic video response to Kony 2012 by a pornographic film star had more than 160,000 hits over roughly the same span. Who's our heroes? The original Kony 2012 video by the group Invisible Children has garnered 83.8 million views on YouTube. So that's a bunch. I know it's a bunch. All right. Other things going on. Syria is still at it and all over it. Um, The Obama administration seized Tuesday on Russia's endorsement of Kofi Annan's mediation efforts in Syria as a positive step toward international unity, even as the decision fails to resolve the fundamental disagreement between Kremlin and the West. After blocking two previous United Nations resolutions critical of Syria, Russia's foreign minister declared his government's readiness to support a new UN effort to force President Bashar Assad's regime to halt its bloody crackdown. Sergei Lavrov added that an accord should be reached among all the Syrians, the government, and all opposition groups on security and peace and starting a political dialogue. It's like the Pirates of the Caribbean. They have to come up with an accord. You know, the accords you heard about. Okay. Other things happening. Now let's get back to more Russia stuff. The Russian military must prepare to counter U.S. missile defenses plans in Europe as even talks between Washington and Moscow are ongoing, President Dmitry Medvedev said Tuesday. Medvedev told a meeting of Russia's top military brass the country isn't shutting the door to dialogue, but nevertheless must get ready to talk military countermeasures. There's not supposed to be a military countermeasure to it, is there? But maybe. There is. We live in a strange time, I have to say that. Okay. Pakistani lawmakers on Tuesday took aim at U.S. One of the most potent U.S. weapons against militants, and that's the cessation of drone missile strikes. So, you know, they sort of turned their back on them in the past, but now they're getting ornery again. And then this was in the news at the very end of the day yesterday, and well, very end of my day yesterday here, and it was 2 o'clock, and they said that in Israel, the Israeli law trying to fight the spread of eating disorders by banning underweight models from local advertising. Law passed late Monday appears to be the first attempt by any government to use legislation to take on fashion industry accused of abetting eating disorders by idolizing extreme thinness. Oh, and they also require publications to disclose when they use altered images to make women and men appear thinner. I didn't know I could use that. I could use the help. Leave it alone, would you? All right. So anyhow, that's the strange thing going on there. Okay. I don't know. It's an interesting law. Can you tell people how much they have to weigh? Is there a minimum you're allowed to weigh and they can't tell you can weigh less? I don't understand really how that could be, but okay, that's what they're saying. All right, give it a shot.
Here we go.
All right, let's see what else we got going on. Let's see what happens at Duke today. We got more local stuff going on. I should get the local stuff first, I think. Here we go. We got some stuff that's happening. Grover Council weighs deep cuts. A deficit-reducing option on the table is layoff, a step the city hasn't taken, at least as layoffs, a step the city hasn't taken in 22 years. We're $800,000 short. It kind of was because of the redevelopment money. And so they're hurting for sure. Nice article about Grace Mitchell in the passing away, the former Cuesta leader. I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to tell you what I know about, what I know and what I don't know. Luna Red to move into next emission in downtown San Luis Obispo. So what's happened is Robin Covey, who owns Novo in San Luis Obispo, and Shani Covey, who owns Robbins in Cambria, Cole and Luna Red, both business partners, felt the mission would be the perfect setting for Luna Red. So here's where it's going. Cielo Cantina is the one just going out. All right, they went kaput. Before that, it was a Native Lounge. It was the Mission Grill. It's been all kinds of things. The weirdest part is years ago when Bill first came here, and for quite some time after that, it was owned by Stan Clinton, and it was called Sebastian's. Sebastian's was a great steakhouse, had a nice little bar, you know. They didn't try to be weird with the bar. They just had a nice little bar, you know, on the left side when you went to the left side. And it was just a very, very popular restaurant. So then Stan moved away and decided, okay, well, I think I'll just lease it to somebody else. I'm going to bail out on Sebastian's and lease it to somebody else. Although I think it was available to just take it over as Sebastian's if somebody wanted to, you know, do the lease thing. But anyway, but the next person that went in, who will remain nameless, boy, he did a really bad job. And so then it started on its hippity-hoppity path along the way. Now, I knew how much rent was being charged for that per month years ago after it was Sebastian's, and it was a choker. I got to tell you, it was in the thousands of dollars. And so as you go into a restaurant, you know, and there was a Mexican restaurant before this last Mexican restaurant in there, and you got to sell a lot of tacos to make up just the rent. You know, so anyway, so my question is I hope Luna Red does well. They're kind of a small plate, international small plate specialty place. I wish them a lot of luck. I mean, I really do. I hope somebody succeeds there because it's a great location. It really is. It's absolutely, you know, spot on. It's right. They got a huge. They can put 72 people on the patio itself, and when the weather is warm and nice and all that, it's a great patio to be on. And of course, you're right there at Mission Plaza, the whole shebang. I hope it works out. That's it. That's all I'm saying about that. I hope it works. Okay. Here they have this picture right here that's kind of funny on the front page of the local section. You travel east on Foothill Boulevard from Los Osos Valley Road, and just before you get to the city limit of San Luis Obispo, and there's a curve right there on the road, a sign releases traffic from the 45-mile limit. Then within just a few yards, a cautionary sign warns drivers not to exceed 45 miles an hour. But you know that, remember, these cautionary signs like we have right here outside of the mighty KYNS, they are totally ignored. You know, nobody pays any attention. You know, I can understand where you might not want to go down to 25 miles an hour. You know, I can understand that. But, you know, like I say, it's the sign's a challenge, and it killed my friend. And it's just sad. You know, I mean, people see these things as well. I'll see how fast I can do it. I don't know why we're like that. I always have to slow down for this because I have to turn in here. You know, I put a blinker on. I'm sure people, when I put my blinker on as I'm going around this corner, people probably think, what an idiot. We know he's making a right turn. That's the way the road goes. No, I'm making a right into the right. But maybe they think I'm a dope for some other reason. But to be fair, be really fair about this. Hey, there's more than meets the eye right there. All right. Here's the CSU trustees flunk test on presidential compensation. This from the Daily News of Los Angeles. You think it's amazing, just amazing. It's just amazing. Here's a letter. Dump the trustees. They obviously don't know what the hell they're doing. And this is the Cuesta Board of Trustees, not the CSU Board of Trustees. Well, here's the interesting. This guy has an interesting letter. I'll tell you why, because this is a song I have queued up. And it says, alcohol, stress, domestic problems, traumatic brain injury, the list of reasons offered by the tragic murder of 16 Afghan citizens by one troubled American soldier. How about if we get honest and list the real reason? War, as the song says, when we ever learn, and the war now, and the killing now. And Johnny Rivers is going to sing that at the end of For Us Here, which I think is really nice of him. Now, I'm going to make sure that I have it here. Make sure I have it. I do. Okay. Right. Now this is a I don't know. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't really understand what people think of. These are people that are defending Rush Limbaugh's choice of words, and that, you know, that what he does it because he wants to get people's attention. He thinks people aren't paying attention enough, whatever the case may be, but that's what he thinks. So that's the whole idea, is to get attention. You know, make sure you're paying attention. So it's kind of interesting to me. One of the people wrote this. I'm going to guess it's Shirley, who I'm going to guess is older. Older meaning, you know, past 50. This letter is a response to the letter Ugly-Minded Rush. Yes, Rush could have used different words to get his point across, but once in a while you have to say things to get people's attention. See what I'm telling you? How can you say his criticism of this woman, who seems to be for everything decent people are against, is wrong? When did promiscuous behavior become decent? If that had been my daughter on TV asking for insurance to pay for her moral behavior, I would have been ashamed that I had raised a daughter with so little respect for herself. To say that Limbaugh's soul is with the devil is so wrong. I don't agree with anything Rush says, but he knows the difference between moral and immoral. When did teaching our children self-respect and morals become taboo? It's a little bit of an old tale right there. All right, right there. We got what other things going on here? Oh, exhaustion of oil supply is inevitable. So, but somewhere we're going to run out of juice. This is going to be, that's the way it is. And cap California's rising fuel taxes, because one of the things that's happened is that you pay by how much you buy, not by the gallon that you pay for tax. And so let me tell you what the prices are. Including the price you pay for a gallon of gasoline or federal excise tax at 18.4 cents a gallon, two state excise taxes of 35.7 cents per gallon, and I'm sorry, this is called that one, state excise tax of 35.7 cents per gallon, and sales of tax of 2.25% plus applicable local taxes. Normally, the sales tax is calculated on the total price of the fuel sale, including excise taxes, resulting in double taxation. California's consumers pay a tax on a tax. But, of course, they make money. They're putting money in the $127 million. Let's see what they say. Actually, I can't find it right off the top. But here's the thing. Now, here's another guy's opinion, which is a good opinion, I think. He says, spare us the 9-10. Might it finally be the time for the big oil companies to drop the 9-tenths of a cent price? I mean, who cares when gas price is $4 per gallon? I guess it made sense when a penny made a difference, but this has been a long time since that was true. 1/10 of a cent hasn't made a difference in gas shopping for a very long time. Please join me in contacting the oil powers and the stupidity. Valerie wants to do that. I'm unmoved. I would like to end daylight saving time, and I would like to get rid of that, but the other thing I'm stuck on worrying about, because people are selling stuff for $2.99, $3.99, $4.99 for how many years? Forever and ever and ever and ever. So I've gotten kind of accustomed to it, to tell you the truth. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. Okay. So let's take a break here. Let's thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thanks for being a friend of the Friends and Neighbors Network with me today. I appreciate it. Tomorrow's Thursday. Hump day's over. We're getting there. And have yourself a wonderful evening. We'll get together again tomorrow at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, bye, bye. Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
We have all flowers gone, long time passing. They have all the flowers gone, a long, long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, every one. When will they ever learn? When will they ever? Long time passing. Where have all
young girl's gone, long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone, taking husbands, everyone? When will they ever learn?
Gone.